You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is Tuesday. It is the Out of Sight podcast on the Liberty Ballers Network. I am your host, Adil Royster. Chill ride, chill vibes as always. Oh, we got a nice little 7-game stretch on the horizon here for your hometown Sixers. It's going to get rough, but all 7 games are nationally televised. Unfortunately, shout out to our man Tom West in England, who's on Greenwich Mean Time. Of course, none of these nationally televised games are convenient for him at all. So we'll just have to hope that he can catch one of these games. But in talking about this upcoming stretch, Steve Littman, Stevie J, the homie Stevie J, wrote a column discussing this upcoming 7-game. What do you want to call this, Steve? This like the stretch from hell? Like, what are we doing? What are we gauntlet. Dubbing this here?
I like gauntlet. I think that's a good word for it.
Gauntlet is a good word. Hey, if it works in wrestling, it works in basketball.
That's good enough for me.
Oh, speaking of which, real quick, I know you and Emily and Dan over there at the Gastroenteritis Blues, you just love your trashy television. Did any of you watch any second of WrestleMania over the weekend?
I have not. I can't speak for Emily got married over the weekend. So
right.
I'd be surprised if she fit in a WrestleMania episode, but I wouldn't doubt her. I'm not sure about Dan, but how was it?
Emily was probably watching reruns of The Bachelor during the ceremony. Like, I would not be surprised by that at all.
Yes, that we fully expect that.
I just caught highlights and just reading stuff. Because, you know, I'm not paying for WWE Network, because I have my own thoughts about that I've said before on other podcasts, but we're not going to discuss that right now. We're talking Sixers here. So the first of these games is actually, well, at the time of this recording, it'll be tonight, but when you're listening, it will have been last night, and it's the Dallas Mavericks and, you know, Luka coming to town. That's always fun. Or wait a second. Are they in? They're in Dallas. I'm sorry.
So they're in Dallas.
We go to Luka. I'm sorry. My fault. Expectations for that game. Like, I know that Luka is this like all world. Oh my God. We could have gotten him if, you know, the lottery balls swung the right way, but it's actually okay. And Ben has kind of neutralized Luka in the last couple of games.
Yeah, Luka is somebody that Ben has done great on. You know, Ben plays great defense on a ton of guys around the league, but Luka especially is, you know, his game, you know, basically leveraging his strength and his size and his step backs. That's just not something that he's been able to do against Ben. So, you know, we'll see. By the time people are listening to this, you know, Luka either dropped like 15 or 50. We really don't know. But
because he's capable of either.
He certainly is, but I forget who said this, but during the last Sixers-Mavericks game, which the Sixers won fairly easily, and Ben held Luka to only 20 points and 7 turnovers and only let him take 13 shots. During that game, somebody said that, you know, the Sixers are set up really well to defend a team that is basically centered around one perimeter guy. Because you can have Ben check him, and if he wants to do a bunch of pick and rolls, then Embiid is your second defender that's coming up there. So we'll see. I, you know, the Sixers have done a great job on him, especially Ben. And, you know, the one difference in this game is that Kristaps is going to play Monday night. You know, he doesn't scare many people anymore. But, you know, from the Mavericks perspective, you're probably hoping that he can draw Embiid out from under the rim a little bit more often. We'll see. I'm very confident. I'm excited to watch these two teams face off and see Ben, you know, come up to the task again against Luka.
I was just going to say, does Kristaps change things for Luka a little bit? Because, like you said, Kristaps can step out and hit some jumpers, maybe pull away Embiid from the net, maybe give Doncic some more space to do his thing inside the paint. But like you said,
maybe
like, Luka's been doing a lot of the step back Harden stuff over the last month. And I don't, yeah, I don't know. I'm a little confused by that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Luka is just very savvy, you know, and he'll get a lot of guys who are over anxious or a little jumpy. Though he'll get them to foul them or he'll get them out of position. And Ben is just very calm as a defender. You know, I just never see him, you know, like that's why Ben's a good defender on James Harden, is that Harden wants to bait you in all these different ways and get you off of his hip and do all this different stuff. We'll see if they can get Ben caught up in screens tonight. I'm sure they'll try to do that. You know, Kristaps isn't a great screener, so I don't know how much he'll be involved in that, but it's a big test. And especially as they start this 7-game trip, I'm sure before they come home, they want to get one more W.
Okay. And then middle of the week, here we go. Sixers, Brooklyn. I wish I could be as hyped for this game as I want to be, but is Brooklyn even going to be at full strength? We still haven't played this team when they're at full strength. It's either KD is still hurt or Harden is hurt or Kyrie is just out for personal reasons. I don't know, teaching some flat earth class somewhere. I don't know. But we just have not seen this team together all at once this season. It just hasn't happened. And Kyrie took this last game off for personal reasons. So who knows if he's playing against the Sixers? Harden's probably a game time decision. So if it's just Kevin Durant, then okay, fine. So we stick Ben on Durant and we're just like, okay, try to outscore everybody, KD, with just you and Joe Harris.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I, you know, the last time the Sixers played the Nets, it was only Harden. And the Sixers played very well in that game. I remember Doc Rivers especially did not guard Harden with Ben in the first half and then deployed him on him in the second half just because of how many fouls that Harden tends to draw and just wanting to save Ben for money time, really.
Genius decision, by the way.
I think that Harden is likely out, and I would hope that Kyrie and KD play. You know, I want to get a gauge of what these two teams are like up against each other. So, you know, what you can really learn from this is A, how well did the Sixers do defending Kevin Durant, which is incredibly difficult. They just so happen to have a 6'10 all-world defender. So, you know, that seems like certainly the Simmons matchup, and I'm sure Tobias Harris will get some time on Durant. And then, you know, Kyrie is going to be he's a tough guy to stop, but I don't think that Kyrie wins the game for them if you can keep everything else at bay. And then the other giant question, which everybody looks at, is how will Brooklyn defend Joel Embiid, who they really don't have anybody to guard him one-on-one. So
the answer to that question is prayer. That's the,
yeah,
that's
I
the
mean, answer to that question. Do they let Joel get his and single cover him and just stay home on the 3-point shooters, or do they send a bunch of doubles and make Embiid make the right passes? You know, I sort of, that's a real pick your poison sort of thing, but I'm sure that whoever is playing, both teams will be hyped for this one. It'll be on national TV, and you know, they're both jockeying for that number one seed, and it's very important. You know, whoever gets that number one seed gets to avoid, of course, the other team until the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially, right, but also Milwaukee until the Eastern Conference Finals, if Milwaukee were to make it there. So the one seed is very important, and I think that both teams are really going for it. So that'll be an interesting game regardless, and I hope that both squads are as healthy as possible.
So this is going to be a really flagrant question that I'm going to ask. Is it possible that the Sixers never see Brooklyn at full strength? Because, like you said, if the Sixers are the one seed, then you're looking at Brooklyn versus Milwaukee in the second round. And if Milwaukee wins that series, we may never get to play against Brooklyn at full strength.
Yeah, I think that that's entirely possible. You know, I don't think that it's crazy to think that, you know, let's say that they end up 1-2 in some order. I don't think it's impossible to think that, you know, one of those two teams could not make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. The way that the playoffs go, you just never know. I mean, you look at the Clippers last year. I thought they were going to be great. And then in the playoffs, they just didn't click. And part of that is that they were hardly ever healthy together, which I think Brooklyn is running into as well, especially when you have three guys who like to be on the ball. I wouldn't say that I take them lightly at all. I think they'll be great. And I think that, you know, they've won so many games this year with less than a full deck. So it'll be incredibly hard to beat them no matter what. But if I were, you know, Steve Nash or, you know, the assistant coaches in Brooklyn, I'd sure want to get them on the court together as much as possible so that when things really get sort of stuck up together in the playoffs, that they know how to, you know, navigate through it.
This is just purely for my enjoyment, but I kind of want the standings and the seedings to shake out the way they are now, just so that we get Knicks Nets first round.
That would be fun.
That's a guilty pleasure that I have right now. Ever since I started looking at the stands and really paying attention, I'm just like, okay, wait, Brooklyn and the Knicks in the first round, New York is going to explode. There's going to be rioting.
Is that what it is right now? Would that be the 2-7?
I would have to, let me check the tapes real fast. I think that's the way it is. Maybe the Knicks are 7. The Knicks are currently 8 as at the time of this recording.
Oh, yeah. So either way, that could happen depending on how it shakes out. That would be cool. I mean, good for the – it was probably pretty easy to see with Tom Thibodeau coming in there because his teams, I feel like, are always good, at least for the first year, and then things are not so good after that. But
and then injuries, you mean by injuries and playing their stars into the ground?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think I heard like Zach Lowe talking about this, but like for giant market teams that have history and cachet and all of that, when they've been bad for so long, you need to achieve like competence before you can achieve like the form that you once had.
So, anything else,
you know? Right. So like the Knicks aren't going to do much this year, but it looks like they're going to find a playoff spot, and I think that'll be a big step for them just to like not be a laughingstock.
Shout out to the Knicks for not sucking this year.
Yes.
It's nice work by you, Tom Thibodeau.
Mazel tov to the Knicks.
Mazel tov to the Knicks. equally awesome game will be against the LA Clippers. This is Friday the 16th. And you said it right in the first line of talking about this game. Storylines are everywhere. Doc Rivers, Ty Lue, Ben Simmons versus Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, Seth Curry versus Paul George. That one kind of confused me a little bit, so you're going to have to dive into that a little bit more.
Oh, do you not know that one?
I do not know about this one. What is going on between Seth Curry and Paul George?
It's more than secondhand. This is like eighth hand retelling of this. So
the best kind of storytelling, by the way.
Yeah,
Steve.
I think that Dan and Emily illuminated me to this, but so... okay, Seth Curry is married to Doc Rivers' daughter. Doc Rivers' daughter, prior to dating and marrying Seth Curry, dated Paul George, and Paul George infamously cheated on her while they were together.
Get the hell out of here.
Yes, so then, you know, there's all this Paul George and Doc Rivers sniping through the media that's happened after Doc went to Philly, and people are saying it's very layered in also the interpersonal drama that happened there. And Seth Curry, of course, that's his girl, so there's lots there. But yeah, I'm very happy I could break this news to you.
That's amazing. That makes me want to watch this game even more.
Right, we should make it a steel cage match and see what happens.
Steel cage, hell in a cell. Let's do it. Yeah. The Sixers, the Clippers won the last matchup, but the Sixers didn't have Embiid.
Right.
With Embiid this Friday, totally different game, 100%. And you can always say that when you're going from Embiid-less to Embiid aplenty.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a good game. You know, the Clippers are very good. They're third in the West. They're 36-18 as we, you know, as we stand now. And that'll be, you know, it's another tough test against a team that should be on the inner circle of like championship contenders. So a lot of this stretch is really the Sixers sort of proving their mettle against the best teams.
Tobias defensively, again, this is going to be a big game for him. He's going to have a couple of tests in these next 7 games because, you know, I like the idea of Ben on Kevin Durant against Brooklyn, but I feel like give Tobias a shot against Durant, because if we have to play Brooklyn in the playoffs, I feel like he would probably take Durant first and then have Simmons on Harden.
Yeah, you know, if you play a full strength Brooklyn team in the playoffs, which could certainly happen, I think that you might want to put Simmons on Harden because of how much of a game wrecker Harden can be.
Right.
And then, you know,
That's not to say
they're
that Durant isn't, but like
exactly, no.
Durant post Achilles tear, not the same Durant.
Yes, and the other thing about Harden is that he involves his teammates so well. You know, he can get that pick and roll game going and get a million extra shots for the bigs on the net. So I would think that maybe Simmons starts on Harden there, and they have, you know, Tobias. The one thing he really does have is the height and length to, you know, stay in there with Durant, but Durant is an incredibly hard cover. So, you know, some mixture of like, you know, Simmons and Tobias and Matisse-Thybulle will be all over those guys. And then, you know, the Kyrie thing will come down to, you know, Danny Green or George Hill and some Thybulle as well. So that I really hope that we get that series because I really think that those are the two best teams. And I just think there's so much to watch there.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I like the idea of Tobias getting a lot of reps against some serious all-star competitors here. And yeah. Reps against KD, maybe against on Wednesday, and then reps against either Paul George or Kawhi Leonard on the 16th. And then, you know, maybe he gets put on Draymond or James Wiseman when they play the Golden State Warriors on Monday the 19th. Steph Curry, I said this at the beginning of the season, and I don't think it's going to happen unless the Warriors really make the playoffs, even as an 8 seed. Steph Curry is every bit of the MVP candidate that he was a few years ago.
He's unbelievable. I mean, he is insane. He's insane. And when you watch them, when Steph is on the bench, or out for a game, they look awful. I mean, that he elevates
absolutely
that roster.
Awful.
To an unbelievable degree. So yeah, no, Steph is incredible. He's an interesting one for the Sixers to guard because, you know, they don't, it seems like in the Doc Rivers regime, they don't love to put Simmons on like the tiniest guys on the court. Although, you know, at the end of the game, we saw what he did with Dame Lillard. You know, yep. He certainly can do it. The difference between Steph and Lillard is that Steph runs around so many screens that my guess is unless they absolutely have to, the Sixers don't want, you know, somebody as big and important as Simmons running through those screens. So it'll probably be on the Sixers smaller guys. You know, Matisse-Thybulle could definitely take some of that assignment. You know, Matisse played really good defense on De'Aaron Fox in the past. You know, I would think, especially since they're home, that the Sixers can get the win over Golden State, but stopping Steph is an incredibly difficult thing. So that'll be interesting to see. And of course his brother might get some of the assignment as well.
I get the feeling sometimes that before a game, like 5 or 6 hours before, like Steph is just on a Peloton for like an hour and a half. Just like, all right, getting that stamina going right now. I'm doing a whole bunch of running tonight. Let's go.
Right. He's crazy. He really does. Like, he plays the game like nobody else. When you watch him stylistically, it just doesn't look like anybody else. So I'm excited to watch him sort of up close with, you know, our team.
Then we go from one Deadeye shooter to another one who is on a team that also features someone that should be in the MVP talk. And that's Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Like, yeah. Okay. Chris Paul should seriously get some MVP nod. I'm sorry. It's just fact. Looking at Phoenix, what they had last year, and yeah, Ricky Rubio is all right. He's fine. But you add Chris Paul, and Chris Paul is the guy that puts all this together? Like, yeah. How can Chris Paul not be in any kind of MVP talk? Is it just that there's just too many guys at the top?
I think that it's, you know, the counting stats don't really come close to the guys at the very top.
Yeah.
But if you look at actual impact and actual value, which is not really what the MVP has become, but if you were to look at that, it's pretty unbelievable. I mean, they are legit really, really good. I think they're second in the West right now. And he's like the big change they made. They have Jay Crowder too, who's a perfect role player for them. And Devin Booker is a guy who's given Simmons a lot of trouble.
Yes, he has.
So Simmons will, I'm sure, try to crack that with Devin Booker because, you know, Booker's really quick and really just savvy in the mid-range. So they'll have their hands full, certainly. And then that's on top of guarding Chris Paul and staying in front of him. That'll be a tough game. Again, Sixers at home, though, so you hope that they can pull out the win. And Embiid has had his way with DeAndre Ayton in the past when Ayton has guarded him. So you would think it would be more of the same.
I remember that 9-point loss to Phoenix earlier. And I remember starting to watch the game and I was just like, okay, Booker is kind of under control right now. Everything's good. Second half, the kid just blew up. Like, what the hell just happened?
Right. I remember watching that second half and the Sixers were scoring okay. But every time it seemed like they started to have a run, Booker or a Phoenix role player would hit a three that they just couldn't overcome. You know, Phoenix was just able to score so well down the stretch. And like Chris Paul has to be like the best fourth quarter practitioner in the NBA again this year.
It'll be good to see former Villanova standout Mikal Bridges, and he's doing pretty well in Phoenix. So I'm glad that, you know, Sixers draft pick Mikal Bridges. And then we rounded out with April 22nd and Saturday, April 24th. I have already carved out time for this. Sixers Bucks. This right. is I. Okay. I've been on the record in stating I am way more worrisome of Milwaukee than I am of Brooklyn.
Oh, really?
I feel like they're going to try to turn it on in the playoffs and get that chemistry of KD, Kyrie, and Harden all going in the playoffs. And I don't know if it's going to work 100% right from the jump, but Milwaukee, the way they have been this season, and with the fact that they haven't had a whole lot of, you know, in and out in terms of chemistry, Milwaukee scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, Milwaukee's really good. They're once again like way up there in terms of net rating, even if they haven't won exactly as many games as they usually do. You know, at this point, they are implementing a sort of big piece in Jrue Holiday. They've had some health stuff. They had a COVID brush, but they're tough. And both of these games in this series, which I don't know why the NBA hasn't made these series, you know, these two game series, the back to backs. Like,
yeah.
There's always ridiculous. Like the Sixers are back to back away against Minnesota and then home against Phoenix. It doesn't make any sense. Like, make the back to backs the series so that they're just in Milwaukee and they play them twice in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, they Milwaukee's a tough test. You know, the last time they played Milwaukee, the Sixers were without Embiid and they got out to a great start. And then Milwaukee stormed back and it went to overtime.
First half was fantastic. The first half of that game was amazing if you're a Sixers fan.
First half was amazing. And the biggest takeaway, you know, especially the biggest like rosy takeaway from that, from the Sixers perspective, is that Simmons showed that he could credibly guard Giannis without much help, which he had not done in the past. You know, Ben is big, but Giannis is like a different caliber of big and his wingspan and the way he plays. But Ben, I thought, played very calmly and under control against Giannis. And I don't know if you put him on him and he's going to shut him down. I wouldn't expect that. I think somebody as great as Giannis is going to get his. But I think for the Sixers to be able to play somebody on Giannis that's not Embiid would be a help. You know, you don't want to tax Embiid that much, especially if they face off in the playoffs. It would be nice to have multiple options, and it looks like they now do without having to just send double team after double team.
Six extra fouls against Giannis is not that – it's not a bad thing to have.
Right.
And I like our chances against Milwaukee because they have at least 24 fouls that they can throw at Giannis between Embiid, Simmons, Harris, and I guess Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not the flagrant kind, Dwight. Jesus. The flagrant kind. Just no regular fouls, Dwight.
Dwight has a good time out there. Good. we'll see. You know, both those games in Milwaukee, it'll be tough, and it'll be at the end of this stretch. But I'm sure that the Sixers will go in there with every intention of winning those games. And I hope both teams are at full strength because I really would like to see that.
After this stretch of games, I'll just ask this question. Of those seven games that you mentioned in the piece here, what do you think is a good, okay, we made it out of this thing alive kind of situation? Like 4-3, like 5-2 would be awesome if we just lost to Milwaukee once and I guess Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think you're happy with 4-3. I think you're thrilled with 5-2 or anything above that.
I mean, if they win all four of the home games, we're gravy. I'm fine with that.
Right. I mean, there's a back-to-back in there, which is the game against Phoenix and then the first game against Milwaukee. We'll see if Embiid plays both of those. I think at this point, if he's fully healthy and has no sort of tweaks or anything, they're probably going to try to play him, you know, for all of these, because Joel has talked about, you know, staying in shape for him is playing as many games as possible. So it is a balance, but I think that they'll try to keep him in for all of these. And I think that they can make a statement, not only, you know, in the media, but also in the standings, if they can stay above water during this stretch and be right there, either, you know, within a half game or even above Brooklyn, I think they would come out of here feeling great.
Yeah. Can they not go like 2-5 on the stretch and then have all the national media nonsensical people being like, oh, they need to split up Ben and Joel again. Like, no, we're not doing this again, guys. It's too late.
That would be a bummer.
It's too late in the season for that nonsense. Just stop it.
Yes, it is. That's right.
Steve J. Lippman. I would not be doing my job as a member of the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network without saying, hey, we hit 250,000 downloads over the weekend. Yes. Was that today?
That was today. That was a few hours ago.
This is going to sound very preachy, and I don't know how you take praise. I hope you take it really well, but I just want to say how much of a joy it's been to work on this podcast network and grow it to what it is today. And I look forward. I know I kind of hinted this on Twitter, but 1 year anniversary, socially distanced live recordings.
I would love that. I think that would be super fun. And thank you for saying that.
What we're saying, everybody, is if everybody gets to a high enough percentage of vaccination, we're doing some live podcasts. That's what we're saying.
That's right.
So beneficial.
Thank you for saying that. And I'm so happy you're a part of it. You know, from your very first episode, I was listening and you just took complete ownership over it and you do a great job with it. You're a great host and we're very lucky to have you. So yeah, thank you for having me on today and thank you for being a part of this. You're a huge part of it.
Always a pleasure, Stevie J. I will talk to you soon. Don't forget, follow Stevie J on Twitter. I always forget your handle, so I'll just let you do it.
At Steve J. Lippman.
Listen to the Gastroenteritis Blues on this Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, as well as everything on the network. Thank you, everybody, so much for your listenerships, your downloads, everything. We cannot say thank you enough, and we hope that you keep listening. And yeah, we're coming for all those top spots on the iTunes and the Spotify. We're coming That's for all right. of them. Come for all
Thank
of
you for
them.
Having me, buddy.
I'll talk to you soon, Steve.
See you, pal. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.
Support for this show comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.